It is the time of year when Kit must rise in the dark, as if he were a farmer or a fisherman, someone whose livelihood depends on beating the dawn, convincing himself that what looks like night is actually morning. His only true occupation these days, however, is fatherhood. His only reason for getting up at this dismal hour is getting his children to school. The morning after Halloween is always difficult, if predictably so. Oversugared, ill-tempered, Will and Fanny wake more reluctantly than ever. Will is still wearing his Eli Manning getup, minus cleats and helmet. Fanny, who walked the streets as Cleopatra, now looks more tawdry than regal, eyes deepened and blurred by her mother's mascara. Will insists on wearing the jersey to school. Kit, giving in, peels two flattened candies, fluorescent and gummy, from the hem. At breakfast, Fanny announces that she has decided to become a chocolate-eating vegetarian.
"That's dumb. Vegetarians eat chocolate," her brother informs her. "Like you'd know anything about it."
Sandra tells Fanny that her brother is right. She tells Will not to call his sister dumb.
"What about vegans?" Fanny wants to know.
Sandra asks if she knows any vegans. Fanny names a girl who, though homeschooled, attends her Saturday dance class. In private, Kit and Sandra refer to this girl's large, progressively minded family as the Naked Hemp Society. All summer long, Fanny's fellow ballerina and her siblings are frequently glimpsed romping without a stitch of clothing through the sprinkler in their backyard.
"They have babies. How do you raise babies on a diet like that?" says Kit,
realizing too late that by joining the conversation, he has merely increased the risk that Will and Fanny will miss the bus, sentencing him to a long wait in the drop-off line at their school, where no amount of intellectually skewed radio can ward off emasculation by the surrounding battalion of soccer mobiles, their exhaust fumes colluding in a cloud bank that threatens to engulf his lowly, antiquated Civic. The occasional mini does nothing to assuage his gloom. Sandra, clearing plates, declares that though she will support Fanny if she wants to follow the usual vegetarian restrictions, veganism is another matter. While urging the twins toward brushing their teeth, she points out that vegans do not wear wool or leather, meaning that Fanny would have to give up her favorite purple sweater and the purse that her grandmother bought her at the crafts fair in Maine. Kit gets them to the bus just in time. One child, an aspiring quarterback, the other resembling a small punk musician the morning after a three-set gig. Please let that not be her aim in life, he thinks as he waves at Fanny through the passing window. Given the choice, he would prefer the crush of a murky, airless rock and roll dive to that of a football stadium. But boys who like the tough sports, boys who are virtually nursed on that potion of hustle, slam, and grunt, they're the ones with the best chance in life. He believes this now, though with more resignation than zeal. Kit has even begun to admire the beefy dad who coaches Will's football team, lingering at pickup time to thank him for his efforts, laboring at small talk. Lame, he knows, but Will is the one whose passions should call the shots, so to speak, whose wants Kit should also want for him, no matter how far they seem from Kit's desires. Illogically and prematurely, and absurdly, considering his own predicament, Kit has begun to brood about what his children will be when they grow up. Returning to the house, he notices that one of the jack-o'-lanterns by the front door was savaged by squirrels, and that the leaves he has yet to clear from the lawn are membraned with frost. In the kitchen, Sandra idles at the sink, eating yogurt from a bowl, looking intently out at the yard.
"Should have cut back the butterfly bush before now. And that rose by the shed. Snow will break those canes. Look how tall they've grown."
She speaks with a tone of regret, rare for Sandra, and Kit knows she's worried because the peak season for her work is over. No one will be hankering after new bushes, new pathways, arbors, or flower beds for the next several months. He waits a careful moment before saying,
"Interesting, if Fanny really does give up meat."
"Not a bad thing," says Sandra, still focused on the garden.
"Will's been brainwashed by the notion that athletes eat steak for breakfast, Something he read in a magazine at the dentist. She knocks loudly on the window. Away from there, you fiends! Squirrels. Kit knows without looking. Maybe, she continues, we should get a cat.
Fanny would be thrilled, though cats are meatitarians. Potential conflict of interest.
Sandra smiles at him. Meatitarians. They certainly are.
Kit coined this term for members of an Inuit community they visited back in his grad school days, a place where the body shape of everyone over 20 tended towards spherical, somehow pleasingly so, and the oldest people had bronzed moon-like faces, cheeks taut and lustrous from all the animal oils and blubber they consumed. That was well before children, before the Jersey suburbs, before they could imagine a spectrum of tribulations ranging all the way from the vandalism of squirrels to the whims of professorial committees. Days of whales and ice floes, Sandra calls the time they were crazy in love. And they were. But what couple, nowadays, does not have a history of crazy in love? Arranged marriages, shotgun marriages, marriages by mail order, all such unions persist. But among the people Kit knows, everyone chose freely after a long, leisurely dance of passion and deliberation.